Exodus 25, verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. Exodus 25, verse 30. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowels, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto the almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls make like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower. So in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto the almonds with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under 2 branches of the same, and a knob under 2 branches of the same, and a knob under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be 1 beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. John 6:49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from the heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you. It's really interesting when we come to the order in which Moses was given the different vessels to make in relation to the tabernacle. Let's always remember what Psalm 29 in verse 9 says, that every whit speaks of his glory. So wherever we are in the tabernacle, its materials and its vessels is always first and foremost speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. The interesting thing in our reading today, in the first reading of today, is this, that after giving instructions for the making of the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and God saying unto Moses, there I will meet with thee and commune with thee, he immediately then goes to the table. And so in verse 23, we've got the instructions regarding to the table called the table of showbread. And then to speak of the lamp stand was made out of 1 talent of gold. It was very interesting the order in which the Spirit of God has put these things. First of all, the ark and its mercy seat. That was a place where God promised to meet with Moses, and that's where he would commune with him. And then immediately he comes to the table. Says nothing about the altar of incense. He doesn't even put the lampstand first. He comes straight to the table and then to the lampstand. Thinking about that, you'll observe in verse 23, I think, you get the word also for the first time in relation to the tabernacle. Because what is being set before us in these few verses is the fact that God wanted to enjoy fellowship and communion with the people he's redeemed. And so we find that what we have in this particular passage is the great truth of fellowship and communion with divine persons. That's why you've got, first of all, after the ark and the mercy seat, we have the introduction to the table, and it's called the table of showbread. Because in this table, made of shittim wood, and again overlaid with pure gold, so immediately we're brought to the conclusion that this table speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ in all the glory of deity and all the reality of his humanity. And we find that Moses was commanded to make the table of these two materials that we might ever have before us. Now, this tremendous truth concerning the person of the Lord Jesus. He is very divine, yet he became truly human. And we're told with regard to the table that there was to be put upon it, when we go to Leviticus chapter 24, 12 cakes that were pierced, and upon them was sprinkled frankincense. So then we have the table, and then we have what was called the showbread, the 12 loaves that were pierced, and they were sprinkled with frankincense, setting before us that which delighted the heart of God. For he said, these 12 cakes, as Leviticus calls them, which we set before him always. And so we find that we have, first of all, the great truth of our fellowship and communion with God. But of course, the very basis of that fellowship and communion with God is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Through his finished work on the cross, he's laid the basis for us, who has been redeemed with his precious blood, to have fellowship and all communion with God. That is a tremendous privilege. It's also a remarkable truth that God would want to have fellowship and communion with us mere men, mere women, and yet those who in his love he has redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have in this particular passage dealing with the table of showbread, the great truth of fellowship. It's a great thing to enjoy life in fellowship with God. We find, do we not, that, as you said in Romans 1, that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so we learn that there's a great desire on the part of God that we should have fellowship and communion with him. But of course, the table represents the very basis of that fellowship is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bread upon the table just reminds us of the very substance that maintains us in our fellowship with divine persons. It is from that standpoint we turn to John's gospel. And John, who set him forth in some small measure, the truth of the tabernacle in its different vessels. Can we come to chapter 6? And here we have in John chapter 6 what really is prefigured in the table of showbread back in Exodus chapter 25. For the Lord Jesus Christ declares himself as to be that living bread that came down from heaven. And then we have the truth that those who would eat of that living bread would live forever. And what John is saying to us, just as the table represented, prefigured, or foreshadowed our fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that fellowship would be constantly maintained by that bread that was upon the table. And so the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself not only as a table suggesting our communion with divine persons, but he presents himself as the bread upon that table. He calls himself the living bread. The interesting thing is this, when you go back to the Old Testament, that those 12 cakes that were set up upon that table before the Lord, they remained there for 7 days. They were put there on the Sabbath. On the following Sabbath, they were removed, and another 12 cakes were put upon that table. And so the cakes that were taken off from the table, they were told, became the food of Aaron and his sons. So what God had been enjoying, at least in figure, in those 12 cakes upon the table, and that for the period of 7 days, they becomes the very food of Aaron and his sons, the priestly family. It is this great truth that John wants us to enjoy, enter into, that Christ is not only the basis of our communion, he is actually the substance which maintains us in our communion with God. And so we're expected that we might feed upon Christ, not the manna, but of course the living bread. For you see, the fact that the table was set before us in its sitting wood and of pure gold, it was setting before us the divine glory of the Lord Jesus. So he who was the living bread when he was here upon earth, now that he is in glory, he's come back to heaven. Now there, upon the throne of God, the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself to us as the living bread. And what delights the heart of God should be the very food of our fellowship, whilst we're here in this world. And so we see how that the tabernacle of old sets before us the person of Christ in all his glory, and also him as the very substance of our fellowship with God. And then, of course, we have instruction there concerning the lampstand. I just wonder why they put the table first. Was not the lampstand? Because what has been expressed in Exodus and in John, the important thing is our communion with divine persons. So when now Moses is commanded and instructed to make a lampstand, notice, of pure gold, no wood associated with a lampstand. It was a lampstand of pure gold, beaten out of 1 talent of gold. I take it that would be, in our language, about 120 pounds in weight. For out of that 120 pound weight of gold, it was beaten out a lampstand with its 3 branches out of one side, 3 branches out of the other side, and then a branch that went up from the main shaft of the lampstand. And so we have a lampstand and has 7 lamps. Because the lampstand doesn't give light of itself. And so instruction was given that there should be 7 lamps, again made of pure gold. And those 7 lamps were to be filled with oil, because the oil would be the means of maintaining the light of that lampstand throughout its duration in the tabernacle. Of course, the holiest of all did not require light, because God dwelt in the holiest of all. As he says, between the cherubim, above the mercy, there I will dwell with thee and commune with thee. So we see that God is the light of the holiest of all. But when you come to the holy place, there's a veil. And it's a veil that shuts out the light of the holiest. So in order for the priestly family to minister at the golden altar of incense and to be at the table of showbread, they needed light. And so we find that the lampstand, it was of beaten gold, reminding us that the lampstand, prefiguring the Lord Jesus Christ, was actually presented to us the sufferings of Christ and the glory that followed. You see, the lampstand was of beaten work. And that brings before us the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was of pure gold. And that brings before us, of course, as we constantly said, the divine glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the lampstand was intended by God to give light It would shine upon the lampstand itself, revealing its beauty, and to shine upon the golden altar of incense, where the priests could offer their worship and intercession by burning incense, and it could shine upon the table, where Aaron and his sons would feast of those 12 cakes that were upon it. Now that's a picture in the book of Exodus. When we come to the New Testament, when we come to chapter 9, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes a simple yet important declaration. He speaks of himself as the light. It shines in the darkness. But he says, whilst I was in the world, I was the light of the world. How true that was. Those 33 years the Lord lived in this world. He was the light of the world. In him shone out the glory of God. As the Apostle Paul would remind us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he was the light of the world. Here was that divine light that had come down from heaven, shining in a dark place. And as John chapter 1 would remind us, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, that word comprehend can have two meanings. It could mean understanding, like a student would go to college or university, and he can learn and understand. You know, that so we can understand it. But then there's a comprehension of it. It says, John, the darkness, that is the moral darkness of this world, could not comprehend the light of the glory of God that shone out in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was to us here, declared himself to be the light of the world. But just as the lampstand was of beaten work, we remember that after the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ at the hands of men, he offered himself unto God without spot. He died upon that cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ, viewed now as the beaten work of being beaten out of gold, to form that glorious, marvellous lampstand, we find that we have, first of all, the idea of his sufferings. But then, on the accomplishing of his death at Calvary, God raised him from the dead. And after those 40 days of visiting his disciples, he ascended up into heaven itself, sat down now at the right hand of God. So he's no longer the light of the world, because he's not here. He's in heaven. That's why, of course, we are reminded by the apostle that we are lights in the world. Christ was the light of the world. The day the light of Christ shines out through his people in a world still marked by moral darkness. But now the Lord Jesus Christ is the lampstand, but now seen in the place of divine glory. And there in the holiest of all, where the Lord Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of God, he is no longer the light of the world, but he's the light of the sanctuary. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ as the lampstand, with its seven lamps of oil, it gave that continuous light from the lampstand to lighten the place where the lampstand was. It just reminds us, our blessed Lord, now in the glory of the presence of God, he sheds light, as it were, on that which is typical of himself. For he is the golden lampstand. He is the pure gold. So that everything about the Lord Jesus Christ and the lampstand speaks of his divine glory. And we find that that divine glory of the Saviour, it produced fruit. So we read of the almonds. And then we read of the buds of the almond tree. And then we read of the flowers. And so in that golden lampstand, we've got bowls representing the fruit, which is in the shape of almonds. And we have the buds, and we have the flowers. And so we find the light, first of all, shines out upon the lampstand itself, that we may be able to apprehend something in our measure of that wonderful life the Lord Jesus Christ lived. He was the bird in incarnation. He was, of course, the flower in those days of his life when he grew up in Nazareth. But he also produced the fruit, the almond fruit, fruit for the glory of God. And that is true as far as Jerusalem is concerned. In that part of the world, the almond tree is the first to actually bud with flower. In fact, if I got my information correct, it's in the month of January, the almond tree flowers in Jerusalem. And so we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ, now in the glory of his Father's presence, the light shines upon himself to give to us at least some small understanding of the greatness and glory of his blessed person, who after all was pure gold. But of course, we find also that that lampstand, the light, not only shone upon the lampstand itself, that we may be able to appreciate the glory of the person of Christ, it shined also upon the altar of incense. That altar that stood by the veil with its incense, where the priest came. And there at that altar they offered incense, that which was figurative of worship and of intercession. And we find an order for the priestly family to minister at the golden altar of incense. The lampstand shone its light upon that table to give light and understanding to the priestly family as they would seek to minister at the golden altar. And in that, we learn something of the worship and intercession of the priestly family. And furthermore, we find that the light of the lampstand not only shone upon the table, the golden altar, it shone upon the table. And so there's that constant revelation in the holy place of the table that speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ in his person. And upon it, those 12 cakes pierced and yet sprinkled with frankincense. Upon that table, delighting the heart of God, and that from week to week, 7 days. And every seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be another set of loaves put upon that table, constantly delighting the heart of God, for in it he saw something more than we do. He saw the fullness of the glory of his blessed Son, who was pierced because of our sins. And so says the Apostle John, as he writes his gospel, look first of all and see that Christ is the living bread. The more we feed upon him, then the greater our communion and fellowship with God will be. In fact, we can only have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that in his gospel, John only says that he tabernacled among us. He was among us as a table with its showbread, and as a lampstand with its seven lamps, lighting up all that holy place. Of course, what we understand, at least as to its foreshadowing, we can only understand the glory of Christ inasmuch as his light shines upon the scriptures of truth, revealing to us all that he is in his absolute deity of the pure gold. And also, we find that only Christ himself, now as the lampstand that shines light, as it were, upon that golden altar of incense, so that through him we can worship and we can move in intercession before God, and so fulfill the purposes of God for those whom he redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And not only that, you see, he shines his light upon the table. And to think that what had delighted the heart of God, what he saw and what he enjoyed of the person of his beloved Son, is ours to enjoy too. And the more we feed upon Christ, of course, the greater will be our fellowship, our communion, with God. Well, after all, we've been called into the fellowship of the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a privilege, then, as we just look at these two pieces of furniture, the table and the lampstand, and remind us what John is saying to you. Christ is the living bread that we feed upon today. He's also not the light of the world, the light of the sanctuary, illuminating all those glorious things, prefigured in those vessels within that holy place. And it may be that the more we read the scriptures and consider these things, the greater our union, our communion, and our fellowship with divine persons would be. And so we come. There's just two more verses left that I want to link with John's gospel, and that is, of course, the brazen altar in the court and the labor. So next week in the will of God, we'll see what John has to say about the brazen altar. See what John has to say about the labor. There must, of course, be some truth for the good of our own souls to see how that John takes up these vessels, at least foreshadowing the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in his gospel. Thank you.